Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and Last of Us, and everything else. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are talking about the next two episodes of The Last of Us, titled Left Behind and When We Are in Need, and full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the episode, get out of here. And I'm joined by a guy, you know, he used to go by Tommy, but now he's Mommy because it rhymes. So, hi, Mommy. How are you?
Oh, no. Mommy? No, I'm going to... Listen, Michael, if you keep messing around like that, you're going to be stuck doing, like waist duty or something. I see so much potential in you, Michael. You gotta keep it together at school, and soon you'll get keys. Like, you see these right here? You'll be moving up to the big leagues soon.
Tommy, you and I are so similar. Just two young, violent hearts.
Just, oh no.
We also have, you know her by now for sure, just the absolute staple on The Last of Us podcast here. It is our good friend, Jen Hurst. Jen
Hurst
brought a plate of venison with her today.
I don't know if you wanna... I went out hunting and everything, like right in the woods behind my house.
Yeah. guys, I love these episodes. I'm coming in hot. I just love The Last of Us. It's so good. I love it. I love it. And all the haters can turn off the podcast. No, you don't.
I think there's haters only because it's so good. And so, like, it's like, to me, the show is doing it. Yes, is there, like, lows and highs of it? Sure. But there's lows and highs of, like, a solid A every single episode. It's, like, at least an A, if not higher. And I think people are just complaining to complain because they're, like, waiting for them to slip up. And, like, I don't think The Last of Us has. We have one episode left. I don't see how they don't nail the landing on this one. And, gosh, I want to rewatch this on a bench because I think it's going to play really well, like, as one long journey. And I've just been loving this journey, Michael.
Yes. Jen, what about you? Are you on the same page? Did you love these episodes?
Good. I did, especially episode 7. Episode 7 may be cementing itself as my favorite episode so far. I love the cinematography, the storyline. I love seeing Ellie having more fun. It just was everything I wanted.
It definitely was a lighthearted episode that we got there, you know, up until the end. But, yeah, it was nice to just kind of stop down and, like, get to see Ellie be a kid, which we don't get a lot.
Yeah, and, like, Ellie from before. It's kind of, I like the small differences, too. Like, we've definitely seen her get hardened through this journey, you know, especially after 8. But we haven't seen, you know, that yet. But... I think it's fun to see, yeah, like Ellie back when like life was easier, maybe, in a way.
Tommy, we kind of discussed it before. You're the Last of Us guy. You have all the reins here today. However you want to guide this conversation is up to you. You're the boss.
Oh man,
you're the leader, standing up, yelling. Bible scriptures at us.
I don't know if I want to be compared to David.
You're gonna come over and smack me across the face onto the ground and say, "You listen to what I'm speaking to you."
I'm the dead now. I'm the father. No. Let's jump right into it. You know, we're all pretty high about these episodes. Episode 7, Left Behind, based on the DLC. Jen, I know you didn't play the first game. Did you know of this DLC?
No.
Existing at all?
Kind of. Like, what was the actual name of it? Was it, like, an actual... Didn't they do, like, a prequel kind of... Was it a prequel?
Yeah. It was called Left Behind. Like, it's,
okay,
it's
yeah.
Last of Us Left Behind.
Yeah. Yes, I've heard of it then, yeah. But I didn't know all the details, but I've heard of it.
Michael, did you play it?
I did, yes. And I, you know, if I guess were to rank the two video games in the DLC, it's probably my least favorite. It's shorter, obviously, but it didn't speak to me as much. But I will say, much like a lot of things being tackled on the HBO show, I enjoyed this a lot more.
Yeah, and because I think playing the DLC, the gameplay's fine. But, like, you're playing the DLC for the cinematic scenes of Riley and Ellie through this. So, like, I knew the minute they were going to adapt this, I'm like, yeah, no kidding. Like, it's going to play so well on a TV show. But, yeah, so that's the backstory. Is like, it is based on the DLC that they added on afterwards. And we'll jump into the episode of... We get a little bit of Joel in the beginning and the end a little bit. But, like, yeah, Joel tells Ellie to leave him, which is like feels like a classic Joel move. I feel like Joel would be like the very like self-sacrificing kind of guy.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I don't want to start the episode with a complaint here, but like there was only one way this was going to end, right? Like, you know, whether you played the video games or not, there was just, you know, but from everything they've gone through thus far, I'd like to, you know, like, you know, Jen obviously hadn't played the first game. Was there any thought that like, okay, they're just separated now. She's leaving. Yeah.
No. Because I have played the sequel, so I do know, like, how it ends. I just don't know the journey to get there.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, like, this was as surprising, or as surprising with quotes, because it's not surprising, as the cliffhanger of last episode of, oh no, Joel got stabbed. Oh no, we're gonna lose Joel.
So I will say, actually, we had a little family get together this week. I watched this episode with my stepdad, mom, sister, and brother. It was actually a really nice experience. But they came into the episode that, you know, they're like, you know, is Joel dying? You know, like, is he going to make it up out of the, like, they were really invested in that. Like, they did not know how it was going to go. And I was kind of like, come on, guys, it's. Really?
Yeah, maybe we have too many, like, we know, so it's so obvious to us. I want, you know, it's good to have our casual corner of for some, it was surprising.
What did your girlfriend think? Was she surprised?
I think we never even talked about it, of, like, Joel not surviving. Like, I think she kind of just assumed the show will continue on. I think there's other parts that, in this episode where she... I think had more questions. Like, I think the Riley of it all was like intriguing to her, because like obviously you have the feeling that Riley's not gonna make it, but it's like, how? Plus, I think what caught her off guard is she put too much weight on Ellie, saying early on that like Ellie was alone when she got bit, and so I think like that threw her off of like, wait, but like she's supposed to be alone, but Riley's here. Those are the biggest takeaways from her.
In hindsight, it's safe to bet that everyone is going to die except for Joel and Ellie. I mean, like, every character that's come onto this, like, who's lingering around still? Nobody. Marlene, I guess?
Joel's brother and his wife.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah, and I mean, like, literally every, you know, this is very sad, but we even lose the horse. Spoilers for episode 8. Like, no one survives except for Ellie and Joel. No one.
Not even the animals.
But yeah, we get the flashback. They cut back to Ellie back in the day. What do you guys think of this Fedra, Jen? Fedra school, this whole conversation with this like principal-like figure of basically... Like, I will say, this probably took me the most out of like... I get that Fedra would have a school and all stuff. It made me feel like I was in like a John Hughes movie for a second. Like, you better shape up. Or
yeah, it didn't really fit into the other vibes. Like, it was just a little off to me. I felt it. I'd see the John Hughes comparison, or just like any other kind of teen movie, like boarding school, dark academia kind of show, as opposed to post-apocalyptic. But I mean, it was nice. That was the only part I didn't like.
I just like the world building of it all, right? Like, because, you know, even in the video games, sometimes it's kind of like, you know, just go, go, go. I mean, it's kind of paint by numbers in the sense of like, you know, there's nothing really. They're just kind of wandering through a wasteland. And it's kind of like, I feel like it kind of gave us a different light on how things are inside of a QZ. Yeah. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing that I took away from it that I liked was it set up the Ellie, like, being pro-Fedra in a way, which is different than the game, and I actually appreciated that they had this, like, Riley and Ellie kind of having a political conversation about throughout the flashback, which I think that's where we get this, because, like, she does kind of appreciate that someone actually cares about her. Again, it kind of, again, I think the character development is, like, because even with Ellie, it's, like, she's literally looking for almost any figure to just, like, care about her. And, like, multiple times we see, like, she latches on to people very quickly.
It's kind of the same way you see people get sucked into, like, abusive relationships, right? Like,
yeah, when like, she just wants a connection.
She's like, well, they feed me and they put a roof over my head, so, like, how bad could they really be? And they choose to ignore or just completely normalize all the terrible things that happen as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's the thing, right? Like, and a lot of this, now thinking about episode 8, is, like, you know, she trusts maybe a little too much with, like, she was a little too friendly to David, and I was like, okay, like, we could, like, maybe not trust every stranger you meet on the road.
I also think that's accurate in that, like, she, like, you know, she's still learning on what it's like to be out. Like, because we do get this perspective of how she's lived this very sheltered life in this dangerous world. And, like, they even set up, like, oh, you don't want to go outside the QZ. Like, there's raiders. There's, like, and that's something she's never experienced. And she is kind of naive in all of that, which I think is very real.
And she's also, what, like, 15, 16? I mean, I feel like most of the time when you're that age, you are pretty naive just because you haven't experienced that much. And you're kind of what you know is like what you've heard from other people.
Yeah. And you know, they've been showing the loss of innocence for Ellie. I think I think episode 8 completely loses that from, in my opinion. But yeah, we get to Federer's school, we get the conversation with the principal, who's basically like, you gotta shape up, I did like a rigged voice for that.
Or you're Morty, gonna be you on gotta, sewage you gotta, duty.
You gotta shape up, Morty.
I thought you were talking about Rick from The Walking Dead or something.
Oh no, but that's Carl!
But if you're really good, then you get to work in a mall.
Yeah, really. but yeah, we get that, and then we also got her, the reason she was in the principal was she beat someone up. I think what I liked about the flashbacks, and we'll get into it with, like, the Riley of it all, is kind of, like, Ellie being the passive partner, and kind of how, like, Riley is the Joel. Again, like, it's like she takes that role of being the second to someone's primary is interesting with Riley.
Riley's awesome. You know, I was a little worried, like, coming into this episode, kind of, you know, kind of have an idea of how it's going to go. You know, like, how well were they going to be able to build out this character in one episode? And I loved it. She was wonderful. Kept up with Bella Ramsey, who, like, I'm, you know, spoilers for things coming later. Like, I'm about to start beating that Emmy drum real quick.
I liked how they used Riley was played by Gia from Euphoria, so it's kind of nice seeing another HBO actress in there. So I knew she could hold her own just from what I see in Euphoria.
Yeah, no, Storm Reid did great in this, and I think, like, this first scene in the bedroom, a lot of this is, like, it's the whole thing with the game. They're adapting this so well, and it's like I felt it, but they add to it, and they give us a little bit more context here. I think both of them, I mean, most of this is just them talking most of this episode, and they're able to do such subtle things. The sweetness, the conversation about, like, and you know, this episode we'll talk a little bit about, like, just trying to figure out if someone's into you. I got that so much. Like, I felt like I was back in high school of, like, well, there's kind of
so
a sign.
It was so cute. And yeah. She's like, I can't get it. That she's like, you gotta turn around as I change and stuff. Like, just so cute.
Yeah, and we'll get to it. But, like, even at the end when she's like, I'm sorry. Like, so many little things that I've heard from friends who are gay of, like, just those subtle things of, like, it's so scary. It's so scary. And I feel like Bella did a really good job of showing that. Through her facial reactions, through little things, like Michael said, Emmy, please, like, how not?
Yeah, no, I think that's one thing this show has done well. You know, obviously I haven't walked in those shoes, but having heard stories and kind of slightly understanding that perspective, it's like, I feel like they're really tackling what it's like to be a queer person and, like, navigating the world and figuring out who is like you. And, you know, they did it so well with Bill and Frank, and here we are again. It's like, you know, it's very rare that we could ever get a story like that one time in one show, and we got it twice in one show, which is, in my opinion, I thought it was done really well. So,
in a show that's pitched as a apocalypse zombie show, it's dealing like not with infected almost at all, and instead it's dealing with like these actual real world like topics. It's genius, and yeah, doing it really well.
Hell of a first date, though, right? Like, I mean, like, this isn't even like a cool apocalypse date. This would have been a cool, like I would go now.
There's no, I feel like going to an arcade is a fantastic first date. Yeah. More people should utilize it.
They got to dress up, the merry-go-round, like, unreal.
Do you know my first date with my girlfriend was at an arcade bar? So.
You did well, Tommy. Perfect first date. That's what, that's why it's still working out.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. So we get Riley's like, let's go to the mall. Classic Robin Sparkles reference, of course. I think like the only thing I have issues with this abandoned mall, and we'll like get into all of it. But if she'd been like here, right? And like the Fireflies, she's joined up with the Fireflies, has like sent her here. How did they not like check this one store to see if there was like an affected on the wall? You know, that was that's the only thing that I was like, how was this not thoroughly checked over?
I mean, it's a big place, and it kind of seemed like they might even be in like a broom closet, like not, or maybe they, I guess they were in a store, but like it was dark, and you know, there's just one. I can see where you miss one. If it was like a store full of them, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't even think they were in a store. I think they were in like the kitchen part of one of the fast food restaurants. Because didn't that look kind of like a kitchen storage room?
Yeah.
But they like, I mean, wasn't Riley saying that she was like, has been exploring the mall all week, like for a while now? Yeah. I don't know, Riley. I'm just saying.
Here's my other question. So we've seen like these type of infected in the past where they're like, posted up to the wall, and it seemed like the perception was that they were basically immobile at that point, if they even were alive. So there's a chance also that maybe she did see it and didn't think it could wake back up. Is that possible?
Stab. Just for safety measure.
Or, you know, the double tap.
At that point, I don't know. No, I'm not even going to say it. I can't. I'm too heartbroken, so I'm not even going to say what. But, yeah, I think, like, that's the only thing, but that's such a small thing. I loved all this. The wonders. We go to the mall. We get the four wonders. I mean, actually, five wonders, because Bella on these escalators was so adorable.
She had no idea what was going on there.
I liked how pretty much the entire episode was shot in like one location, because it was at Northland Mall in Calgary, which I guess was during renovation times. So they got to change the whole mall to how they wanted it. And I thought the way they set it up with all like the props and all the corners, the lighting and everything, they did such a good job with it.
Yeah, and I think the top was digitally added, I believe. Like the whole top floor wasn't in the original mall.
Yeah, I think only a couple malls in Calgary have the multiple floors. I don't think Northland Mall did. It's a pretty small one.
Yeah, I guess that's what I had heard on that podcast, Tommy, the official Last of Us podcast, where they just couldn't find the perfect two-story mall, but they found a one-story mall they were able to digitally recreate a second level, which, I mean, truly impressive. Like, nobody caught that, right? Like, nobody saw that. It was like, that's CGI.
No.
Yeah. No, like if they wouldn't have said it, I don't think anyone would have like gotten it. But I think this is the one thing that I think they're doing really good with Ellie, is like they're constantly showing her wonder with the world and like the world of the past, because it's like there's some shows that clumsily would forget to have her like react to things all the time. And, like, this show is constantly having her be like, yeah, this is my first time ever seeing escalators. Okay, people, I'm going to freak out about it.
Which
wonder is your favorite of the five? Which one would you be the most impressed by?
I guess I had to put myself in her shoes of, like, not really.
You're a newborn baby. You woke up yesterday, Michael, and now you're in this mall crawling around. What's catching your eye? And you're like, whoa.
I feel like I'm probably drawn to the arcade, but also, like, I can't imagine what it's like to experience a merry-go-round for the first time. You know, like that has to be unreal. And not even just a merry, like, you've never experienced a ride, right? You've never been on a roller coaster. Yeah, you've barely been in a car. Or actually, at this point, she's never been in a car. That must have just been, I don't know. I think if I were Ellie, I think it'd be the merry-go-round.
Yeah, that was going to be mine. I think the merry-go-round was really cool. I mean, all of them are great. We get the escalator, like I mentioned. We get the photo booth. We get the carousel, the arcade, and then the Halloween store. I think I would pick the carousel. Halloween store would probably be the last for me.
Mine would be the photo booth, because that was never worked. Every time as a teenager, we'd go to the mall. We'd sit in that pretty much the exact same photo booth. And 9 out of 10 times, the photo would not print. So oh, no. When I saw it print, I was like, how many times did they shoot this scene?
Yeah. Only in the apocalypse.
I don't think I'm a photo booth guy.
It's a little cramped.
Yeah, like, I think I've never
trying to fit four of your friends in there is pretty hard.
Yeah, I think, like, I've had one good experience, and it's, like, because there was two people, but it's always, especially in high school, you always have at least, like, six friends you're with, and you're like, okay, let's all cram into this, and then the photo doesn't turn out well.
I don't know, because here's the thing, like, again, like, back in, I'm thinking, like, even eighth grade, like, when I didn't have a smartphone, and, like, the idea of, like, photography was kind of not, like, it wasn't just readily available at all times. So, like, either photo booths, but also what we would do is we would go to the mall, and we would go into the Mac stores and take photos on the Macs with, like, the funny filters. And, like, that was, like, one of the biggest things to do at the mall.
We didn't have Mac stores in Canada yet, so we would just go to Sephora and have them do our makeup.
I feel like I did nothing. My mom was so small. We literally just, like, sat and waited for my mom to go shopping. We just sit on benches. Or go to, like, the GameStop and play the free games. I feel like that was our big thing to do.
You didn't have an arcade in the mall?
No. Oh. No, we had an Old Navy. And sometimes go to the Old Navy and look at clothes.
One mall in Calgary had turtles for all, because people would just drop off their turtles that they didn't want anymore until there got to be too many turtles in the pond.
This sounds like the best mall. My mall was so, like, I cannot tell you how, like, it's literally, like, one store now. It's so broken down.
Our mall had a playground in it, and I broke my arm there when I was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah. I was, like, two.
And you broke it?
Yeah.
At least I would have healed quick.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never know that I've ever broken my arm before, you know, unless somebody had told me, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I think those are the wonders. The carousel was great. I think the conversations had throughout are really well. They're setting up, establishing Riley and Ellie and that. The arcade, I think this is one where I loved it. I think it did it really well. The game is really sweet, because I think I like the game slightly better. Mm-hmm. The game doesn't work in the arcade game doesn't work in the DLC game, and so Riley has Ellie close her eyes, and then she like does the moves for, she like like narrates what she should be seeing in the game, and so it's a really sweet moment. So I think I would have preferred that, but I think what they did here was still awesome, and like I couldn't imagine that. Like, I think the podcast talked about how like she's been, you know, she has the poster of Mortal Kombat. She's heard about this game for forever. And to get to finally play a game that you've only heard about, it's probably a really cool experience.
Yeah. The arcade for me would be the one I'd be most excited for, because I love those kind of games. I would have been all over Ms. Pac-Man.
And unlimited quarters, Michael?
Yeah. How'd she break that thing open? I feel like I tried when I was her age. It didn't work.
She had unlimited time. You were under... Yeah. Camera surveillance. She was the surveillance.
I feel like a crowbar would be the right move. Oh, they also get whiskey. We didn't talk about that. Just some random guy. Okay, this is a... They grab this whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, like, presumably took pills and then took the whiskey. How do we know he didn't put the pills in the whiskey? They didn't notice. It was an open bottle that they just took and started drinking.
I don't know how efficient that is.
When you're a teenager, do you really think these things through? You're just there's free alcohol.
Yeah. No, 100%, but I was nervous. I mean, obviously, I knew they were going to die from the whiskey, but in my head, I was nervous.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, it looked clear, so I feel like, they had a chance.
Well, that's the wonders. We do get the Halloween store is the last place they go, and they kiss Michael.
They do. Very sweet moment here. It made me giddy. I was like, yes, it worked. Like, I feel like they both had intentions coming into this, and it just played out well. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, my first kiss, right? It's like everything just worked out perfectly, and it's just, it was good.
And the song, and the dancing, and, like, I think what I loved about this, too, is they're in masks, and I knew exactly what Bella looked like underneath that mask. By the way she was, her posture, the way she quickly stopped dancing and slowly, like, I saw it all. Like, it was so well done. I was like, gosh, you don't even need this mask. I could tell your emotions behind the mask.
Yeah, I'm just constantly impressed by how good Bella is with all her subtleties with acting. Like, she's good at delivering the lines, but honestly, just, like, her nonverbal acting is next level already for being, like, only 20 years old or something.
Yeah, and, not to jump ahead too much, but, like, when... there's, like, heavy action scenes involving Bella, like, completely holding their own there. like, what a badass.
Yeah, if this doesn't, like, I mean, it's going to. If this doesn't, like, just, like, push her to the top of people's, you know, list, if you're looking for a teenage actress, how do you not cast her in almost everything?
Right.
But, sadly... the kiss, and then that silly one infected bites them both. They're infected, Michael. It's over.
That's kind of it. Bite both of them. I'm like, come on, y'all could have done something quicker. To bite both of them.
You don't think so? Are you saying they did a poor job defending against the infected?
A little bit. Although I did just say Bella was a badass, and that scene where, you know, I don't know what it is, but Bella has a way of stabbing, whether, you know, we'll see it later too, but, like, just very, I don't know.
It's like full in body, full, yeah. Like, there's a lot that goes into the stabbing. It's not just like a...
And maybe that's the thing, it's like, you know, more of like, a child, how would a child go about doing that? I think they would need their full body to do it. And, you know, it's pretty, kind of a dark conversation. But.
Well, she's also a pretty small girl, too. Like, she can't be bigger than, like, 5'3", 110 pounds. So she probably needs to do that to get any force behind her.
I mean, did you see the way Joel flung her in, like, the first episode? Like, she went flying.
Yeah, she's so tiny.
Yeah. But yeah, heartbreaking here. And this is just like, you know, it's so cruel. Like, Neil Druckmann, what an evil man. Like, to just build all of this up, all this emotion. Like, you get that heightened kind of sense that I described earlier. And then it comes right back down to this, where you're like, they're like, well. And here's the other thing. They kind of talked about, like, well, do we just end it now? Imagine if that happened, you know, with what's to come with Ellie.
And it's even sad to me. It's even sadder that it's just one, because like in the game, it's many, and it's even sadder. It's like you could, like you said, Michael, like you could have like, can we redo the level? Let's go back. Let's reboot at the checkpoint.
Yeah.
Get through it here, like. Yeah. Sad stuff, and they react. We get Ellie's like, angry, which is I think in the game it's opposite. Again, not to give too many spoilers, like, but I think in the game Riley's the one that's like smashing things, but I don't remember.
Honestly, I don't either.
Yeah,
my memory for this stuff is very bad, and it's gonna come up in the next episode where like I might have questions about, you know, from my memory it's very accurate, but I feel like things have changed. So,
and
well, that's why
the person or the walker infected person that she killed. Is that, do you think that's the person she was referring to Joel, saying that she's killed before? Or is it someone else?
See, we had this conversation, and I feel like I pushed back at the time, saying that that doesn't count, does it?
I don't know if you count them or not. The one that was obviously in the wall is barely cognitive, but I don't know if this one, because they were moving, maybe she counted it? I'm not sure.
See, I always thought it was going to be Riley. Like, after she turned, that's what she counted. But I don't know. Yeah, because now she killed this one before. How many times... What does Ellie count as a kill? To me, it's like it has to be a human. Once they're infected, like, yes, that's a kill, but it's like a different kind of kill.
It's like pulling out a mushroom, alright?
Yeah.
Or, like, if you're, like, a veterinarian or something and you're euthanizing the dying dog or something. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I view killing the infected. Wow. I know it's depressing, but I mean that's kind of how I take it. Like they're gone anyways. Like you're you know they're in pain.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay,
well, we could talk about something happier. So what does how does a computer get drunk?
Oh, come on. I know it. I have no idea.
I lost two. I forgot it already.
Taking screenshots.
Oh yeah. I don't even know what a screenshot is.
I loved how they were like, "What is that?"
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So they're infected. We don't see what happens, but obviously we can put some context clues together. Of presumably Riley turns at some point, and then the Fireflies come and save Ellie, and then we get Ellie's sewing up Joel. That's how the episode ends. Mm-hmm. With like a little bit of hope. It's the more hopeful of the two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I thought it was just really, like I said, I knew Ellie was going to come back down those stairs, but just seeing her in action, fumbling through the house, ripping out drawers, looking for something to help Joel, like I thought that was really powerful. And I'm like, go get him. You got this, Ellie. Yeah, I'm like that TikTok, the Cars TikTok. I don't know if you guys have seen it, where Lightning McQueen's in the audience cheering. And it's like, this is like my dog when I do something great. And he's like, yeah, I tried. Somebody gets it.
You're going to have to send that to me.
Yeah.
Wait, can I get the yeah one more time?
Yeah. That's probably not what he says. So.
No, it's perfect. Yeah, that's episode 7. Anything else you guys wanted to mention in episode 7?
I saw the most hate on this episode, and it upset me because I did really.
Yeah. Aww. I think a big thing I heard, which didn't bother me, was like in the game you cut back and forth between Ellie searching for the medicine and all this stuff, and then you cut to the memories. I didn't mind that it was one, like we stayed in the flashback. To me, it helped me stay fixated on what timeline I was on. I think if we jumped back and forth, I'd get more confused. I heard that a lot of criticism, but I don't necessarily agree with it myself.
No, I think this was an important episode to understand Ellie a lot better and to see where she came from and to show how she started to harden.
For sure.
Yep. But that takes us to, man... A really, really sad episode. Season 1, episode 8, When We Are in Need. Gosh, overall thoughts, guys?
Oh, wow. You know, as much as I loved episode 7, I loved episode 8 even more. It's a hard episode to love because there's a lot of dark stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. But the way they're able to flesh out different types of people in this world... was really well done, and like it was great in like the worst ways, right? Like I haven't hated a character like this in a very long time. And, you know, obviously loving Ellie and Bella Ramsey as much as I do and seeing them up against each other, you know, again, knowing how it's going to end. But, like, I'm just rooting for her so much in this moment. I'm like, you got to do what you got to do. And then she does it, and it's hard and it's difficult. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck yeah, Ellie.
Yeah, it's quite impressive for how each episode they can build up these characters in such a short period of time and give them so many layers.
Yeah, no, and that's, they keep doing it. I will say what I like about this episode compared to some of the other, and it's like, it's the balance, right? Like, we've gotten a lot of our villains having these, like, gray areas where we can, like, how are they different than Joel? I kind of liked, and some people may be different with me, some people might have wanted David to be kind of redeemable. I like that he was just a jerk. He is literally a terrible, awful person that shouldn't have survived into the apocalypse, because this is exactly what he's basically been waiting for his entire life, is this ability to get away from society. He's unredeemable, and so I think that's okay. There are some people in the world, in our world, that are just bad. There is nothing relatable. There is no redemption. There is no gray. They are nefariously bad. And to me, I don't mind having that one villain showcase it here in this way. But yeah, I think the episode was great. I think the way they had it, I think the small changes they made for the most part improved. I think focusing on letting Ellie completely escape on her own, having this be her thing and not, like, getting saved by the last minute by Joel and all this stuff, like, I think this worked really well.
And I always think it's interesting how they showcase, like, the use of religion in these kind of settings as a way to brainwash the people and how we can get control by saying it's God's will and all that. So I think it's still, I don't know, it just always interests me as a storyline seeing something like this.
Yeah, and Neil Druckmann has talked about how important the separation of church and state is for him, and how that is an example in this episode, and how, you know, while this might seem like an extreme example, the stuff has happened not only now, but throughout history, and it's doomed to repeat itself. You know, Jed, you said something about, like, the layers to a character.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did here with this villain, but they did layers of a villain. It's like, it was a slow crawl to, like, every step. I was like, I knew from the get-go this was a bad person when he told the girl that we'll bury your father in the spring. And it's like, that's just a completely insensitive thing to say. And then it goes on. You find out he's vengeful. You find out that he hits kids. You find out that he threatens his other people. You find out that he eats people. You find out that he desires children. You find out that he wants to kill children. It's like, it's just like everything on top of everything. It's like they were able to design the worst type of person. And it is one of the most unsettling portrayals I've seen in TV, 100%. Like, it is eerily creepy how well it's done.
His delivery of the lines was incredible, I think.
Yeah, and I definitely felt like they were going to go full, like, yeah, he's a religious man, and it took it in a completely different way. It almost was even worse that, to me, it's like, wasn't even religious, he just weaponized it. He saw a means that people wanted, he took it, and then used it, again, for his needs, for his wants. It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible on all levels. It's just the levels of David, I think. They did a good job, like, fleshing it out more. A lot of this is implied in the game, but they really spelled it out for you. And that's where we start. We start with David's opening with his preaching. We can kind of talk about all the, like, town stuff, because they jump back and forth, but I think it's easier just talking about all the stuff with the girl, with the father. Man, it really built up, right, guys? Like, it was like, I got bits of it. I was like, well, they can't bury the father because, like, he's definitely what they're eating, right? Like, that was my thought right away, was he's definitely the thing that they just served to his daughter. The grossness of the grooming of the daughter was awful. But again, it set up, like, what he's going to do to Ellie later. And, yeah, it just, nothing about him and the preachingness of it all was fun. It's supposed to put you in a space of, like, I think the part that gets me is, like, it doesn't seem like anyone's tricked by it, but they don't know what else to do.
I was gonna say, I always find it interesting when you have people, especially men who are in that position of power, they seem to like be like, since they can't get told no anymore, that's when they want the underage children.
That's a sad truth, actually. You know, and here's the thing, like, I was raised Catholic, and there are parts of Catholicism and Christianity that I'm glad were in my life because they taught me very basic principles of life, right? Like, it was instilled in me at a young age, you know, the Ten Commandments of them all, right? Like, just that alone, you know, don't kill people, stuff like that, like just very basic stuff. And like, I feel like there is so much good and, you know, a lot of organized religion, but then you can see how quickly it's twisted as well. And I think that's a constant theme in a lot of things, and it's really well showcased here.
Yeah, no, well said. The only other thing to mention, I think, for me is James is played by the voice actor of Joel. It's played by Troy Baker. So it was nice to see him. I mean, not nice, because I didn't really like James, but it was nice to see Troy on my screen for a little bit.
Yeah, I love how they're doing that throughout these episodes, hiding the voice actors in plain sight. It's
good. Yeah, we should be getting one more, hopefully, I would assume.
Okay.
But yeah, anything else about the town?
Not really. I mean, do you guys see yourself in a situation where you follow this guy, like, just for food? I mean, he's got food, at least. No, there's no way.
No.
Are you stuck there? I guess it's like, did he even have a choice to leave, to be honest? With someone like him, I doubt they actually could leave.
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, it sounds like, because like they said, it's like, their rations went out, what, a week? And it's like, I'm at, like, if it's that bad with a group of people, imagine how bad it is on your own. And I'm trying to, like, put myself in the position of why people would do this, why people would go along with it. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's like survival. I think a lot of people are sacrificing their needs to be here.
Live. And also, I think if I said, hey, David, hey, it's me, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna try on my own. I think our next morning's breakfast. Free people, they're gonna let a fresh meal walk out the door.
No, you're gonna be not. Eggs Benedict in the morning.
Yeah. But yeah, that's David. We meet him, we get to know him a little bit, which I think helped, because then it's like, once I think it's good to know what David's about before he meets Ellie, because I think the conversation with Ellie could be taken very sweetly and like, oh, okay, like, he's actually seems caring and all this stuff, and like having it in the back of your head of like, I don't really trust this guy, I think helps those scenes, because that's what we get. He meets Ellie, and James is there too, as Ellie went hunting, got some deer, but now David wants it.
Yeah, this was a very eerie interaction, you know, all the way up until, like, he seems very agreeable, like, almost too much so. You know, he's like, you know, he's even saying to his buddy, you run to town, get the medicine, and I'm not even lying. Like, actually do that. Like, this isn't code. Take care of it. But, yeah, you just don't trust the guy.
Yeah, and I mean, Jen, I mean, he so casually, that the conversation shifts so casually, where he's like, yeah, because, like, I think everything happens for a reason. I mean, look, we've been searching for a man who murdered one of our guys, and he was chatting with a girl, and look at the chances here.
Yeah, the whole conversation with Ellie was just like, ride worry bells going off in my head. I was like, do you think she sees it?
How does she not just kill him there? She had the gun, right? They didn't have guns. Did James still have his gun, I guess?
Maybe. Yeah, no, they threw him on the ground.
Yeah,
I don't
she
know.
Made him leave it.
Yeah. Because, like, at this point, at the point that he, like, reveals, like, we've been looking for you, he's not going to just leave you alone. He's told you.
Yeah. Maybe she, like, you know, him mentioning there's a larger group, and, you know, at that point, she realizes you know, Joel's in danger. I'm in danger. We need to leave. That's my number one priority. I love this drop here. I didn't remember this from the game, but it is something I've always loved about the games, is your actions always have consequences, and these things come back to haunt you. You know, you might have just, like, killed a goon in the next town over, but, like, you know, those people have friends, those people have family, and they're going to come after you, and, you know.
But wouldn't you be more likely to kill him knowing that he revealed that? Because if he's in a large group, he's just going to go back and tell them.
And more people that you couldn't handle. It's only you and, like, a meat shield Joel that maybe you can, like, have take bullets for you or something.
Where is Ellie at with killing at this point, though? Yeah. Like, because we even see later, like, it clearly is taking a toll on her emotionally. And, like, the first time, it's like, you know, she does have this violent nature, and they're really pounding that into her head. But I still don't think that she's that type 100%. Like, it's not just like...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
She is a kid, too, and, like, in her mind, maybe she's in her... In her mind, she's like, you know what? Maybe I gave him the deer. Maybe they'll just leave now. We can get, you know, Joel can heal real quick, and we'll just get out before they can find us. Maybe she was just, like, trying to hope that, like, nothing more would come from it. But it does, because they show up. David goes back. They, you know, we have the scene with the stew, and he hits a girl, which was, again, we talked about it before. It's just not good stuff over there. And then we get Ellie doing a power play. She's going to draw them away so that Joel can get more time to heal.
This is what I'm talking about. She's just a badass, dude. Like, how cool. Like, she's like, there's just no fear. And maybe it's all motivated by her love for Joel at this point. But, like, the balls to go out there with, like, 5 to 6 men with guns and, like, fire blindly at them and run away. Like, I don't know, man. It's like, I might have just barricaded the door.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they were not strategic about this, though. If this was game, Ellie, I'd be throwing a Molotov right at them, just all gathered up in a little circle. I would have, bam, dead, boom, done.
Yeah, where are the Molotovs? There's, yeah. I haven't seen any in this show yet.
No, I know, there's a couple of things I've been missing. Like, I wanted the workbench at one point. Maybe we'll still get it. I want Molotovs or, like, some more of their gadgets I would like to see. We didn't even get the bow and arrow. I thought for sure we were going to get the bow and arrow here.
I wish. Yeah.
Maybe that's season 2.
Yeah, maybe. Also, like, we... pour some out for the horse, sadly shot.
Wild scene. Like, that was very jarring, seeing Ellie get thrown from a horse like this. It was very scary.
Yeah, I also, like, I don't know, I feel like they gave it to, like, a little boy, like, she gets away from a ton of them, and she's running for a long period. She really didn't get that far here. I felt kind of bad. It was like, they really didn't even give her a chance to, like, show off a little bit.
Yeah, again, like a kid trying to do, you know, very bold things and then not working out.
Well, she's captured now. We get a very uncomfortable scene with her and David in this, like, cage area.
Yeah.
Yikes on bikes, guys. This is uncomfortable.
I feel like I needed to take a shower.
And what's great, though, is, like, I do, and again, this is, like, so much, like, I feel like I just relate to this character in some way that, like, throughout any weird conversation here, I know that Ellie and I are on the same page. We're both creeped out. If somebody did this to me, I would grab their finger and break it. You know, like, I'm totally vibing with everything going through Ellie's head. And, like, the big FU that she gives this man. And again, just like, there's like this level of bravery that, like, you know, again, I'd like to say that I would be like that, but I don't know that I could, where, like, you know, she says, Ellie's the name of the little girl that broke your fucking finger. Like, God bless. That was the balls, man.
yeah, but is it the smartest thing? I was like, man, you're really, like, you're not trying to survive this. But also, it's like, maybe, you know, you do have to fight. So I get both sides, and gosh, it was the conversation before with Dave basically being like, we're both violent. I can tell that. We're basically the same person. I am you. And like, even him, this is where I feel like all of his walls, his slow reveals are completely gone. He's like, yeah, I use this. I've always had violent tendencies, and I've always had these thoughts, but I didn't act on it before, but now I get to. And his comparison of the Cordyceps, I thought was interesting, of like, they're doing everything from love, which I think is a big thing we've talked about throughout the show, and now the show is literally telling us now, is like, hey, is anyone bad if they're doing it for love?
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like, in a way, like, his twisted perception is very effective, right? Very evil too, though. Like, him talking about how, you know, the Cordyceps will protect their people with violence if they must. And it's just like, like, I feel like you're willing to go to violence way quicker than even the Cordyceps are, so.
Yeah, it's a lot. Jen, anything about this cage scene?
I was just like, I just felt very uncomfortable through the whole thing. I was just like, as I said, I want to take a shower. I was like, I just need Ellie to get out of here because I was like, creepy men are not fun to watch.
No, and this actor does a really good job of like, two things. I think it was really good to make David a little bit more like a weak man. In the game, I think he's a little bit more like, I always saw him as like blue collar kind of guy. He's got a goatee. I don't know. There's more going on. This guy just seems like he was an accountant. I think he said he was a teacher or something.
Yeah, this guy works at my office. Like, I know this guy.
He's an accountant too.
And so it's like the fact that he's got this like almost like sing-songy nature to his voice too. There's or like a softness to his voice. And it makes it that much more creepier and that much more terrifying and that much more like, I want you dead. I just want you gone.
And I think that's how he could do the preaching too, because it sounded like, I don't know. I feel like when you listen to preachers, usually the calmness is kind of what brings people in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think so too. There is that like rhythm to be preaching, right? But don't count out Ellie yet, Michael.
Never.
Because she got tricks up her sleeve. Poor James gets killed here because she thinks on her feet, tells them that, hey, I'm infected, and I just bit you. So what are you going to do about it? Gives them a second to panic, and she escapes in the night.
Yeah, what a smart move. This is like a big move day for Ellie. Like she, that was really smart to bite him and show him that, distract them. And then again, like, it's just like, shit, like kind of we talked about before, like in some respect, you might understand why somebody would follow this person because they're providing food, they're providing shelter, they're providing protection in a dark, cold, foodless world. That's kind of what you have to survive. But Ellie's like not going to sacrifice those basic moral standards for that. And you see that like all the way from the big middle finger she gives him to like her finally putting the butcher knife in the, what's his name, James's neck. Wild.
Yeah. And again, like she's doing it on her own because Joel is dealing with his own stuff over on the other side of things. He wakes up, is able to defeat a few guys, and then he does a classic Joel move. We saw it early on, a lot friendlier early on, of his interrogation style of, you tell me the location, and then you also tell me the location, and it better match. How did you feel about this scene, Jen? Do we like Joel bouncing back like this?
I have no idea how I managed to do it, to be honest. Like, he's literally laying there in and out of consciousness, basically dying, and then suddenly he's jumping up, killing people, forcing men, like full-size men down with a knife. I don't know. It was like he must have went to like the workbench and missed a potion or something.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like Joel, and I mentioned this earlier with Ellie. It's like I think a lot of the strength that both of these characters have comes from the love for one another. Like the thought of Ellie being in danger has motivated him to get his ass up and do something about it. And like even Joel's infected ass, like basically limping around, is able to take on like three of these like fully healthy guys. Like what a like dude's awesome.
Total badass.
I think we're really underselling the power of penicillin. I think this is all just a commercial for penicillin and how quick acting it is, I guess.
I'm allergic to penicillin.
Oh, no. Michael.
I'm sorry, Michael. Never. You won't get up and kill three guys then.
No.
Yeah. So they're going to have to find an alternative.
Yeah. And I love this interrogation scene where he like gets the location, kills the guy. And Rebecca was next to me and was like, well, that was kind of stupid. Now the other guy won't confirm it because you lost your leverage. And you get, as she's saying it, Joel's like, yeah, I believe him. I don't need either of you anymore. It was good. It was a good little bit in a very dark episode, getting a little lighthearted here with this.
I liked when he finally caught up with Ellie, though. Like, just the relief on her face as she sunk into him was just really reassuring to see after everything that went down.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have my note just written baby girl because we'll talk about that. Gosh, what a scene. But before that, Ellie does get caught one last time by David as this scene. I will never forget playing this game and the place burning and David's chasing you around these tables and you have to sneak around. It's such a hard battle. And I thought they did it pretty well. I don't know if I needed it to be longer than what they showed us in the TV show. I definitely got the vibes that I got from the game, but it was a lot quicker. I mean, David's really hard to beat in the game.
Yeah. I guess, you know, the ideal trajectory is you only get one life. So, meanwhile, I'm playing and I've gone like 10 times. I'm about to change the difficulty on the game because I'm frustrated.
The game does this thing, which I think is so passive aggressive. And this was the part where the game was like, hey, it's us here, the game. If you want, just a reminder, you can switch the difficulty. And I'm like, all right, game, don't call me out. Give me a second.
They're like, you've just died for the 8th time. I think it's time to consider.
Yeah. The worst is playing, like, there's one Mario Brothers game where it's like you die, I think it's more than 10 times. They'd be like, they have like a little fairy appear and says, we can take you right to the end. It's like, this is even more offensive because you're saying I can't do this at all.
Yeah.
Let me suffer, game, okay? Don't mock me.
No, I thought this was really well done. Like, again, just Ellie is never going to give in to this man. And like, just much respect to her. And the ultimate action of her, like I started tearing up like watching her repeatedly murder this man. It was like very emotional, and you could see it on her face the whole time where like she's not happy to be doing this, but she knows she has to get it over with and she has to do it fast, and it's not clean, it's not nice, it's not fun, but she's getting it done. And it was just, there were so many emotions packed. And, like, it's very rare, like, you know, in any TV or movie where somebody gets killed, you know, your hero just is able to go to the next scene and they're fine. Where, like, there's just so much packed into this moment here.
Yeah, because David gets worse. Well, of course, he's got his last thing is to be even creepier and make, like, it is attempted rape, right? Like, those are the implications of his words and stuff. Gosh, could not want this guy dead more. And it's so traumatic how she does it. It doesn't even feel like a victory. Like, the way she's just, like, slicing into the... It's trauma. It's trauma all the way around. It's just really awful.
Yeah. But good riddance.
Yeah.
Douche.
And again, for real. And this is where they switched it from the game of, like, in the game, Joel shows up and stops her from continuing to stab and grabs her there in the place and takes her out. I like the change. I think letting Ellie take full ownership of this, also having this distance of, like, Joel kind of knows, can imply what happened, but does not know the full context, because if Ellie doesn't talk to him, he's not going to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, another moment here, the baby girl of it all. It's like, at that point, it's like, you know, there is, like, for so much to this point, there's, like, this hardened exterior to Joel where he's just, you know, he's not, like, not only does he not really want to be on this mission, but, like, he doesn't want to open up and get close to this person, but he did. And here he is now, and here he is dealing with the effects of that, and it all goes out the window at that point. It's like, I'm done pretending, I'm done, you know, I'm done hiding myself from you. You're my person, you're here now, and I couldn't be more grateful. And I thought that was really well portrayed by the baby girl. That's like that one cutesy little name kind of just breaks down everything we've known about the character up until this point. So really well done.
Yeah, and the watch was very prominent, as I thought that was really good in the cinematography of, like, you can see the watch the entire time too. Gosh, what a scene.
It was a really good scene to end on, I think.
Yeah. And man, that's going to lead us to a crazy finale.
It's supposed to be the shortest run. I don't know if it's a little spoiler. It's supposed to be the shortest run time. I don't know how they're going to do this in 45 minutes. I'm like, I want more.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do it. I don't want to get into spoilers too much. But I do want to open up this question. Jen, I think you have an idea of where this is going. Tommy, I know you know. Do you foresee any changes? Do you feel like there's going to be a big turn here? Are things going to end differently than the game? And, you know, if you haven't played the games, we're not spoiling because you don't know what happens. And if you have played the games, you get to know what we're talking about. But, yeah, do you see it changing?
Maybe not, like, the end-all, be-all ending change, but I could see them maybe lengthening or prolonging what's going to happen.
Yeah, to me, the beats, I think what I've learned from the show, from 8 episodes so far, they really don't delete as much as they may add context or more information or expand on backstory type things I could see in this episode as changes, but I just don't see how you can change this episode, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Very vague there, but I think we got our point across.
It'd be interesting. I think it's going to be a very, it'll be a very interesting end to a season, leading us, hopefully, I think, is it confirmed yet that we're getting season 2?
Yeah.
I mean,
There's no way it's not. They, like, broke records this week, I think. I can't remember the numbers, but,
74%.
IMDb already shows, like, a season 2, so I'm assuming that means it's renewed.
Nice. Yeah, I think it was 74-76% up from the premiere in episode 8.
It's usually the opposite trajectory for most shows.
And I'm really
almost always.
I'm really intrigued to see what the final boss is, because I feel like in video games, like, that's, like, what you're building to, and it's so much fun to see. So I'm looking forward to see how they do that.
Do we want more infected? How are we feeling on the level? We really don't get them, but I'll say in the game it's kind of the same thing. You really don't get infected. Yeah. Like, it's becoming more about the humans of it all.
In the game, I feel like they're kind of just like throw it in. So they're like, oh, look, you crawled through something, we're gonna put one in here or something. But yeah, they're not really that much either.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm with this with most zombie stuff, and I've been like this with The Walking Dead. It's never about the zombies. Usually they're like a catalyst to other things and other problems. So I think we've gotten a fair amount. I would prefer these things to focus on the characters, you know, like, you know, a bunch of zombie action can only take you so far. Although if you do want that, I recommend Black Summer. I don't know that I've ever mentioned that on here, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Well, yeah, that's it for the episode. Anything else you guys would like to mention?
I think that's it. I'm ready for season two. I want season two like the following week. But the other issue is that I'm having is I need them to wait a long period of time. You know, like I don't want them to film a month from now. I want them to film 2 to 3 years from now. Like the characters need to age a little bit. There's a big time jump between the two games. Yeah. And I would like to feel that. I would like to see a more mature Ellie and a more mature Joel.
I also think we need to sit with it. I think right now in this day and age in TV, we're almost shooting ourselves in the foot with a lot of these properties because we're doing things too quickly, thinking of Marvel and Star Wars, where there's constantly content. Yeah. We don't get time to actually digest the content because we're constantly getting fed the next spoonful of content. That I think like taking the time with Last of Us, giving us a break here, you know, the game is coming out for the PC, it's a remake of the remastered version is coming out for PC, I think soon or has. Let that sit, people have that to play for those people that are playing for the first time, and then come back to it.
And I will be playing on the PC when it comes out. I can't wait.
Yeah, I love it. They originally was gonna come out sooner, but then they're like, wait. People are actually going to start playing because of the TV show, so we're going to take our time to make it even better.
Yeah. And not spoil the casual TV-going audience. So.
Yeah, that also was probably part of it as well. But yeah, that's it for for Last of Us. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, that's the finale, and we'll do some coverage on it. So I'm excited about it.
Me too.
Jen, as always, I want to give you a chance. Tell people where they can find you and whatever else you're up to.
On Instagram and Twitter at Jen_Hurst. As I mentioned before, I mainly tweet about reality TV shows. So if you like those, you can see me on Twitter with that. And Instagram mainly just me at breweries and whatever book I'm reading.
Jen, I got to ask, do you have a Survivor winner pick?
For Heroes versus Villains or the new season?
let's go with the new season. I mainly asked me because like it seems like even some of the audience that we have who we didn't think were Survivor fans are also Survivor fans. So it's kind of relevant still. Our last guest, John Carter, I'm sure he wants to know.
I'm actually not sure for the new season because I can't remember anyone's names.
Okay, Heroes versus Villains.
Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah.
Haley.
Okay.
Yeah. I was kind of struggling with the newer season of American Survivor because I like watching for the characters, the tribe mates, and I like the tribe dynamics. And I feel like they have so many advantages. They spend so long explaining the advantages that the things I like with the characters and tribe dynamics get lost.
Exactly. Yep, and if anybody else is feeling that, go watch Australian Survivor. Tommy, I got to ask you now. I guess we're skipping recommendations today. I just want to know Survivor winner picks. Do you have one?
Well, yeah, so going in, I'll say the one that I had before I watched any episodes was Lauren. That was
gotcha.
my winner pick, so that's like who we're pick. Going with. We have to. I don't like to pick once I watch the episodes because then you get into the edgy of it gets too messy.
So. You got to pick before, yeah. Here's my problem. I forgot to make a pick. I don't have any proof that I made a pick. So, like, now it's like I don't want to pick because I feel like, you know, there's like 4 or 5 people I won't pick based on what happened in that first episode, so I don't know. Maybe I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I know. I kind of feel that too. I should have looked them up before.
I needed to do a tweet or something.
Yeah. This is like a slight spoiler for you if you haven't started the episode. I don't know. I think you should just pick the doctor, Michael. I think he's going to have a good shot of winning the whole thing. Great edit in the first episode.
I will say I'm in multiple drafts and I picked Brandon for like he was like up there in all my picks. So it doesn't feel as great now, but
that's your guy.
At least it wasn't Bruce. Okay, guys. Sorry, spoilers, I guess. Something else happened to Bruce. Whatever. All right.
We're talking about Bruce from Survivor Panama.
Yes. Yep. The best Bruce. All right, I will close out here. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week with Mandalorian coverage, and next week we'll have Last of Us finale. And what else is coming? Tommy, right around the corner, we got Visions coming, and I don't know. I want to do some good Visions content. I'm ready. I don't know how we're going to do it yet. We'll talk, but I'm really excited for Visions, and we'll do something nice. And
should we record the podcast, then send it to some animation studio, have them animate us in the podcast, and that's going to be the special coverage of Visions.
I've always wanted to be a cartoon, so
it's basically
probably a big price tag on this job, but I'll make it work. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Stark Wars Pod. Also, check our show notes for our merch. We got a lot of cool merch in there. That's something you're interested in.
So we can afford the animated episode. Buy exactly. Some merch.
Please support the show. And then, Tommy, let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Kind of, this is kind of inside baseball, inside podcast of it all. I saw that Anchor now offers subscriptions. Would you ever do like a bonus show for if we did like subscriptions?
Yeah, I would do. Like,
what would we talk about?
What's the bonus?
Yeah, I think that's the question. How about the audience lets us know, and if people seem interested, we'll have some like hidden content. I don't know. We'll talk.
I feel like there's options. Like, go. You know, we did the Iron Man rewatch. Watching old MCU stuff could be interesting. Watching, there's tons of MCU Star Wars. If you want to do that kind of bonus, there's also just anything.
Yeah.
Maybe I can make Michael watch one of my animated shows.
I was thinking you could read like a comic book or something. Like maybe you could read all the saga books and talk about each saga, or Paper Girls or something.
Those are both up our alley. I think we would love to do that. So.
But we gotta do the voices. We like.
Oh, we do a dramatic reading.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let us know if you're interested in, like, you know, what do you want from Stark Wars? We're here for you. We could do something. We also have a Discord community going on, so if that's something you'd be interested in, we do a lot of fun stuff in there whenever opportunities arise, whether it be questions of the day or we did a survivor draft, right? There's always something going on, so if you want to get into that, you can message us, we'll get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.